Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time by the grace of God. We've been bringing these messages for 19 years. And so we thank the Lord for that. We thank the Lord for you, the listener, for this radio station, for all the prayers and the support. And so we thank the Lord for this day. It's a day that He's made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today we're going to be talking about dealing with anxiety, dealing with depression. This is part three. This will be the last of this series. And so you'll be interested in this as everybody today deals with an anxious heart, with all the things going on in the world. And so you'll want to stay tuned for every word of this message. If you have your Bible there today, turn it to Proverbs 12:25. Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host. Before we get into the message today, just want to give you an announcement this evening at 6 p.m. June 23rd, this very night, we're going to have a fundraising event at the Bullseye Event Center in downtown Norton, and you're welcome to come. You're invited to come. We're going to try to raise money for our school building project. We're going to build a primary school, grades 1 through 8, in Macunda Village. And we have an acre of land right next to the children's home. We want to buy another acre adjoining that. And then we would have 2 acres with a football field and classrooms for about 200 students there in Macunda. And so this is going to be a good Christian school. We're going to have the usual subjects, give kids a good grounding in the usual subjects, the basic subjects, and then also we're going to have a good Christian education along with it. But the amazing thing, the wonderful thing, is that there are going to be Muslim children in this school, because there are a lot of Muslim children in the locality around the children's home. Probably 50% of the people there are from Muslim families, and so we'll have an opportunity to teach some of the Muslim children and give them a good education as well. So if you can make it, come down tonight at 6 p.m. We're going to have grilled burgers and other side dishes, and you can help us raise money for the children's home there in Kenya, and it will be a blessing to you, a blessing to us, a blessing to the kingdom. So come down tonight, 6 p.m., Bullseye Events Center, and we'll be happy to see you there. If you can't make it, we'd love to hear from you and make a donation to the Children's Home Project, and you can stay tuned to the end of this broadcast for contact information. Okay, well, today we're going to be talking about part three of dealing with anxiety and depression. And as I spoke in the preview, this is a big subject. Many, many millions, tens of millions, probably hundreds of millions of people in the USA are on some type of medication for depression and anxiety and despair, and the ramifications of those things in a person's life. It manifests itself in physical illness, it manifests in mental illness, and so there's lots and lots of issues, lots of problems when we deal with despair and anxiety and we don't deal with it in a godly way, and we just let it consume us, we let it oppress us, we let it take us down. And so God has a lot to say about this in the Bible, because it was certainly a important factor in many people's lives back in those days too. And so we are going to start today in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25. We looked at this scripture a couple weeks ago, and it says, "Anxiety in the heart of a man weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad." And so basically this is the description of depression and despair It is anxiety or anxious thoughts in the heart of a man weighs it down, weighs the heart down, and a good word, but a good word, makes it glad. And so where does that good word come from? It comes from God's word. It comes from the hope that we have within us, that hope that stirs us up to do something greater than just the mundane things that people do, the mundane things that take over our life. And then after a while, those mundane things start to weigh us down. It becomes a heavy burden to carry or a heavy heart. And so that is why we have God's word, is it to give us a good word. And beloved, again, like I spoke last week, if you're not in God's word every single day, you need to be. Set aside time to read God's word. Set aside time in your secret place to read God's word. Early in the morning is great, wonderful, works for many people, but later in the day or at night, if you can't find time during the day, at night before you go to bed, but get some of God's word in your heart. Take that heavy burden out of your heart. Don't have a heavy heart day after day after day. It will eventually wear you down, and you'll be depressed, and you'll find yourself running to the doctor asking if he can give you some medicine to take this depression or this despair, or God forbid you go into some other kind of mental illness, of schizophrenia or bipolar illness or serious medical problems. And you need to get God's word in your heart. Get sin out of your life. God has a solution for you, and it's a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not just a formula of A, B, C, D, do these steps, check off the boxes. No, it's a relationship with Jesus Christ. And as you get older, you will find out that this relationship is what sustains you. It's what carries you. It gives you joy. It gives you hope. The second coming of Jesus and also your walk with him on the earth will give you the hope to deal with the problems that come into your life. And so that heavy heart is something that we're going to look at today. Philippians 4:6, the Apostle Paul says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in all things through prayer and supplication," that is a plea for mercy. Supplication is a plea for mercy. "But in all things, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And so Paul is saying that when you make your plea to God, a plea for supplication, that is a plea for mercy, and you take your problems to God in prayer, with thanksgiving, in other words, you thank God every step of the way. You thank him for your life. You thank him for the day. That's why I started the prayer today, thanking God. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Yes, you've got problems. I've got problems. You've got anxiety. I've got anxiety. But give God thanks. He gave you another day. There will not be any day in your life when you don't have problems. If nothing else, just as a Christian, the devil wants to take you out. The devil wants to destroy your calling and your destiny. And if you allow him to, he will. And so that is his program for you, is to continue to weigh you down with oppression, continue to weigh you down with worry and anxiety. But beloved, when you look to the Lord and you look to his plan for your life and you continue to develop that relationship with Jesus Christ, you continue to grow deeper in your walk with Jesus Christ, then you have hope in your heart. That heavy heart becomes a light heart, and we'll talk about that more here in just a minute, about yoking yourself to Jesus. But that heavy heart becomes a light heart, it becomes a joyful heart, and you can give praise to the Lord And no matter what situation is it going on in your life, you can give praise to the Lord. You can thank Him because God causes all things to work for good of those who are called to Him and who love Him. Of course, we have been predestined to be conformed into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. And so God allows the events and the circumstances and the things going on in our life. He allows those things into our life to shape us, to form us, to conform us into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. And so God chastens those He loves, He shapes, He molds, He disciplines those that He loves. But beloved, don't consider it as something that you need to fear. Don't consider it something that you need to run from. Because we are in a battle as God's children, we are in a battle for the kingdom of God, and so the devil is going to continue to bombard you. He's going to continue to try to oppress you and discourage you and put you in despair. But beloved, if you keep looking to Jesus and look to His guidance, look to His yoking, to be yoked with Him, and let Him lead you in every situation, and let His word speak to you and encourage you and fill you, you will be able then to overcome all the depression, all the despair, all the events in your life that are trying to take you down. The Apostle Paul said, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension." You can't understand it. It's supernatural. Every blessing from the Lord is supernatural. Every gift from the Lord is supernatural. And so the life that you live here on this earth, as you give thanks to God and you praise God, then that peace of God, which the world cannot give, if you're just counting on the world to give you that peace, it is not going to come from the world. If you're just counting on family reunions and chicken dinners to give you that peace and give you that joy, it's not going to come from the world. You have to get yourself into God's word. You have to get your walk with the Lord going, and that peace that passes all comprehension will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Well, the second point, after dealing with that heavy heart, the second point I want to make today is don't let fear destroy you. It's very easy, looking at the news, looking at the events of today, to think that we're in a time when fear is just going to take over our lives. What's going to happen in politics? What's going to happen with the next 4 years here in America after we get a new president? What's going to happen even in the run-up to the election? All this chaos going on in America. Well, over in Kenya, they're in the streets again with tear gas and water cannons, and people are complaining and protesting and demonstrating against high taxes. So there's always something going on in the political realm, which is really the realm of the world, the realm of life in every country. Don't let fear destroy you. 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or a spirit of fear, but of power and love and discipline," or some translations say a power and love and a sound mind. And so God has given you a spirit of power. He's given you a spirit of love. He's given you a sound mind. We have the mind of Christ, so we don't have to wake up each day and say, "Oh, what is going to come at me today? Is a steamroller coming at me and going to roll me down and flatten me out today?" No, God has given you a spirit of power and love and discipline, and it starts with praising God, starts with looking into His word, reading His word, that hope that is within you. Always be ready to give a defense for the hope that lies within you, that hope of your calling in Jesus Christ, that hope of the second coming of Jesus Christ, that hope that you're going to spend all eternity in heaven, that hope that you're going to walk on this earth in the glory of God. You're going to walk in a heavenly place here on the earth, and that is the hope, beloved, that you can nurture in your heart, and it will give you joy, it will sustain you, and the worries of the day and the problems of the day will not take you down. Well, fear, too much fear in your life is a lack of faith. So substitute faith for the fear in your life. Substitute faith and believe that God has blessings for you. Believe that God has a great anointing on your life, that he has a calling on your life. Believe that you're going to walk in glory. And every time the devil tries to come into your life and speak fear into your life, say, I believe that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I believe that according to everything that I need, that God will provide his riches and glory for everything that I need. And just continue to substitute faith for fear. Well, Hebrews 11:8 is a great chapter. Hebrews chapter 11 is a great chapter. It's the roll call of faith. And if you have trouble understanding what faith is, go to that chapter and read it and ask God to give you more faith. Paul says, the writer of Hebrews says, by faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for a city that has a foundation, whose architect and builder is God. Well, Abraham went out, he got the call of God for his life. He went out and he didn't even know where he was going. He just followed God, and that's what we need to do. I went to Kenya. I didn't really even know where I was going. Had never been to Nairobi before. I had never been to any place in Africa before. Did not know one single person in Africa. And I went because God called me. He showed me in a dream. He wanted me to go to Africa to preach. And so I went. I stepped out in faith. I left behind my farm. I left behind my friends. I left behind my church family. All the things that were important to me, my business, all of those things, I left them behind. And I went into a far country that I had never been in, and I did not know where I was going. And so in some ways, my life resembles a little bit like Abraham. And so you need to step out in faith. Whatever God is speaking to you to do, maybe it's to go to another country. Maybe it's to go on a short-term mission trip. Maybe it's to get into a church. Maybe it's to help support a missionary, write out a check and help support somebody who's doing kingdom work. Whatever it is God is calling you to do, just step out in faith and do it, and you will receive a great blessing when you do that. Step out in faith and believe for something greater than yourself. When your life is just focused on yourself, beloved, you are going to be depressed. I'm going to read a passage of scripture from Ecclesiastes, and this is a great passage. This whole book of Ecclesiastes written by King Solomon, who had everything on an earthly level. He had everything any man could ever possibly want. All the money, all of the land, all of the farms, all of the relationships with women, everything that a man could possibly want, King Solomon had it. But yet here he is in the book of Ecclesiastes. And it says in verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities. All is vanity, or everything is vanity, or futility. What advantage does a man have in all his work which he does under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises, the sun sets, and hastens to its place. It rises there again, blowing toward the south, then turning toward the north. The wind continues swirling along. Well, that's Kansas for sure. And on its circular courses, the wind returns. All the rivers flow into the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place where the rivers flow, there they flow again. And then in verse 8, hear this. All things are wearisome. Man is not able to tell it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor is the ear filled with hearing. That which has been is that which will be, and that which has been done is that which will be done, so there is nothing new under the sun. Well, there's a man who had everything. And you can repeat that story with many people who chase after riches. Their whole goal in life is to become rich and store up money. They have everything, and they're still not happy. They're not satisfied. They don't have fulfillment. They have no joy. They have no peace. And so everything is vanity. If you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, you'll eventually be agreeing with Solomon, and you'll say, everything is vanity. Everything is futility. I strived, I worked, I pursued, I did everything that the world has to offer. I did it in the best way that I could, and I'm still frustrated. I'm still oppressed and depressed and full of despair. Well, verse 8, all things are wearisome, and man is not able to tell it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor is the ear filled with hearing. That's why people travel all over the earth looking at God's creation, and they never see God. They're always looking for another great tourist attraction, another waterfall, another river, another rock formation, but they don't see God. They're looking at His creation, but they don't see God. Well, you have to see God looking at Jesus Christ, His Son. Jesus said, if you don't know me, you're not going to know God. If you don't come through me, you're not going to come to God. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. And so you must come through Jesus Christ to know God. Well, this brings us to point 3, yoke yourself to Jesus. Yoke yourself to Jesus. Matthew 11:28, these are the words of Jesus Christ himself. He said, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, or all you who are in despair and depressed and have disappointment and discouragement, thoughts of suicide, you don't know where to turn, come unto me, said Jesus, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your weary soul. For my yoke is easy and my load is light. Well, beloved, if you don't know anything about Jesus Christ, he was God's Son. He was sent here by God because mankind could not be reconciled back to God. Man had been separated from God by his sin, and man could not be reconciled back to God except through the blood of Jesus Christ. Our sins are forgiven. Our sins are nailed to the cross, you might say, with Jesus Christ, and his blood was shed so that your sins could be forgiven. And your sins are not only forgiven, but the Lord says he forgets your sin as far as the east is from the west. And so if your sin is weighing you down, things that you've done in your life that you're not proud of, and we all have those things in our life that we're not proud of, that we don't speak about, we don't tell people about, their secrets between us and God, or secrets between us and nobody, and you need to share those things with God. You need to speak to God, develop a relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. When you come to God, when you pray to God, and you thank him for everything that he has done for you, if you're alive today and listening to this message, you have something to be thankful for, because God has blessed you with another day, and you can make changes in your life starting today. You can make changes in your relationship with God starting today. You can come to know God today through his Son, Jesus Christ, and you do it by yoking yourself to Jesus Christ. And so your burden then is taken through the yoke by Jesus Christ. And you all know what a yoke is. When they used to farm with oxen, we still do that over in Africa. We farm with oxen, and they have two oxen, and a wooden yoke goes over them. And so the oxen move together. They step out together, and they pull the plow together. And that's what Jesus wants to do. He wants to yoke himself with you, or you with him. And then his yoke takes your problems off of your shoulders. You step out together with Jesus. You move at the same time with Jesus. You go in the same direction, and the plow then will move. That plow of depression, that plow of despair and disappointment, it will move off of your life. Give Jesus thanks, give him glory, give him praise, and as you do that, then the yoke of depression and despair will come off of your life, and that plow will move, and you will get that field plowed. You will be an overcomer. You will be a conqueror. You will be more than a conqueror. And so this is an important scripture that I think you should commit to memory. All you who are weary and heavy laden, well, that's you listening to me today, and I will give you rest. And so, you know, when a person passes on to glory, we say, rest in peace with Jesus Christ, RIP, rest in peace. You can have rest here today. Take time to give thanks. Take time to pray. Take time to study God's Word. Take time to go to church. Take time to meditate on the goodness of God in your life. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Jesus wants you to learn from him. So we must come to Jesus when we are weary. And when you have baggage, when you have anxiety, when you have depression, despair, pain, discouragement, physical ailments can be very discouraging. Dealing with cancers, dealing with arthritis, chronic disease can be very, very discouraging, and it can make you want to lash out at God and curse God. Just stay in there. Keep thanking the Lord. If he gives you a small victory, keep thanking the Lord, and day by day, you will get better. Day by day, you will start to see an improvement. And we have the virtues of Jesus when you are yoked with him. You can always go to Jesus. He will give you rest. He has a yoke that fits your shoulders, and you can always count on him and yoke yourself to him. You can learn from him, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 9:10. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, Proverbs 1:7. And so you can have his wisdom and his knowledge to deal with your problems and the issues that come up in your life. Jesus is gentle. He says he is gentle as a lamb. He is humble in heart. He is not full of pride. He is not too prideful to spend time with you. He is not too prideful to give you instruction. His yoke is easy, and his burden on you is light. It will not wear you down. It will not take you down. It will lift you up. Yoke yourself to Jesus, beloved, and you will come up out of that miry clay. This is my last message on this subject, but I just encourage you to get into God's Word, develop a deep, lasting relationship with Jesus Christ, and that despair and that depression will lift off of you. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We praise the Lord for that. We invite you to help us keep these broadcasts coming, and we invite you to sit down today. Write us out a check. Let us know you're listening. Include prayer requests if you have them, and we will be happy to pray with you, and we will be happy to go on and do God's work because of your generous donation. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.